Fishing all the time. Keep it going fishing too.
Oh, yeah. Baby's going fishing too. And if she's a good fisher person, she'll
catch more fish than you.
Yeah.
Maybe me.
It could happen. Has your baby ever caught more fish than you?
Yep. Libby Lake.
Really?
Yeah, I drug her up there one time, and somehow she was having a lot better luck than I was.
Oh, it can happen.
They just knew it was a pretty lady at the end of the line.
You don't think it was the casting touch? Or
oh, it could have been the prowess, for sure. Yes. Definitely, definitely.
I'm sure she's picked up a lot.
That time we were frisking each other to keep the horse flies off. One person would pat the other down while the other fished. It was so heinously bad.
And she could probably do that without being, mentally diverted, and you probably had a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I was going batty. I was going buggy.
Buggy.
Yeah.
I know there's a reason.
Oh, there's definitely a reason they call it that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey.
Fishing?
Leaf's here. This is a fishing report, and since I saw you last,
mm-hmm.
not probably a lot has happened. I mean,
yeah, been kind of.
What's going on at work? I'm always curious what you're doing at work.
Been kind of focused on work. Been prepping for tributary trapping, taking a look at creeks like Bridge Creek and Beaver Creek. Gonna hope to get our tributary traps in there this year, flow permitting. Last year the flows were so crazy we just couldn't get them in there for fear of having them blown away. We trap our kelts on their way back downstream after they've spawned there for our program, and we try to take them back and get them into as good a shape as we can for a re-release. And we also get some kelt from the hatchery programs, and so I've been out helping to collect some of the brood with the National Hatchery folks.
Nice.
And so we spawn those guys there, and then we get the girls, to be precise, the wild ones from them, and try to get them into shape, re-release them as well. So just been out trying to get more steelhead in the front door so we can take them out the back door and take them over to our place. And fishing has kind of been minimal other than that for me, because the lakes are kind of at a point definitely where the ice is just kind of rotted out, and everything else is kind of a little ways away. So
speaking of, I know you went to Chelan.
Yeah,
what was the deal with that story?
Well, my friend Gregory and I had planned to go to Roosevelt, but they dumped all the water out of that thing. So apparently that is a fishery you need to get to before, kind of the end of February, beginning of March is going to be right around when they do that, I think, to prep for the incoming spring water.
Oh, so, for sure, yeah. You don't know exactly.
I think it just depends on the year.
Yeah, it's different
every year. Yeah, so I would just try to get my fishing done on that giant kokanee fishery in that second, third, and fourth week of February. Mm-hmm. Seems to be pretty reliable from what I can remember now.
Yeah.
And so we had a plan to do an overnighter there, get the evening and the morning hatch, which would have been epic. Mother Nature thwarted us pretty hard there.
Yeah.
So we took ourselves down to Chelan, tried to get our kokanee that way. And there you're fishing 170 feet over 900 feet of water, more like normal kokanee fishing on downriggers.
Yeah.
And we had kind of just the hand cranker ones, non-electrics. So we got tired of cranking before you know it, and went over to the flats or over to the shallows and started fishing for some cutthroat on the fly, because I'd heard you could get into them. Managed to get one little guy, and just kind of licked our wounds on that one. Heard a lot of stories from my friend Brad at Bobber Down. He was up there. I called him at 10:30 that day to see what the story was, and he was already at kokanee number 38 with him and his friends, and they quickly hit their limit of that, and I could see him motor away from his spot, and so he went blasting down lake to go fish some cutthroat, which he also limited out on all those for those guys.
It must take a lifetime to learn that lake, though. It's a huge lake. It's deep. It's got all kinds of things going on in it.
And it's always changing. Those fish are swimming around. They're going up to the end in the fall. They're coming back down to the other end in the spring. So you got to know where they're at. And at that point, they were kind of up Mitchell Creek area. And that would explain why we didn't have much luck with the cutthroat. They seem to be more down towards town. That's where I've heard that Kane, my buddy at Heavy Hitter, and Brad both are kind of going for their cutthroat fix, and then they might have to blast a little ways up lake to get their kokanee. But if you want to do that kind of gig, I can't recommend those guys enough, obviously. They have the boats for that.
Yeah.
They have the gear for that and the knowledge of what that place is all about. So it was kind of a little lackluster for us on that note, but we're kind of greenhorns.
I was going to say, did you feel like, you know,
yeah,
the new guys,
yeah,
the
greenhorns. Yeah, but I feel like if we go back again next time, then it'd be no problem because we found the fish right after I saw where Brad was at. It was funny. We were in a mile-long group of folks that were catching nothing. Mm-hmm. And we moved three-quarters of a mile upstream, and you were hitting them every pass in doubles. So it just... I think the thing with that was the fish were there. You could see them on the graph where everybody else was at. But I think it was the fact that there were 50 boats over the fish with a bunch of gear going through them that they just shut their mouths and just stopped feeding.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to, you know, sometimes not just butt your head up against, you know, just being stubborn and like, oh, well, this is where we caught them yesterday, you know.
Oh, for
sometimes
sure.
Sometimes you got to change it up.
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, it's pretty straightforward, though. You get your kokanee where the kokanee are, and that could be up or down lake, yeah. Up or down in depth. But then it's pretty straightforward. Go over to the rock walls and riprap and stuff and the cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do find them, they're just every cast. On the fly, anything, little spinners, whatever, you'll pull them in hand over fist, as far as I've heard.
But you're going to have to travel a little bit for that kind of
thing. Yeah, but like I said, getting closer down. Like you could launch at Wapato or downtown now and not have to go all the way up as far as Mitchell Creek.
And another place that's going to take a little bit of a drive over to take a gander at the Lahontans.
Omak Lake. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this one for a while. I've been tying up some flies, making some plans.
Mm-hmm.
Been making plans with my friends at the and fellow clubmates at the Methow Fly Fishers Club. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to do an outing over there on April 8th. And I would like to just throw out the invite to anybody that wants to do it that just hasn't gotten over there or has or whatever. If you... need some tips while you're there before you go, you can feel free to ask me. I want to kind of just put together a good fishing party with everybody.
A little
over
wagon
there.
Train over the over yeah, the loop.
Methowers over there, and at that point, you know, we should be looking at pretty good conditions. We should have a decent amount of fish that are up there swimming in pretty shallow water on those flats. Should be able to throw just some streamers and maybe even some dry flies at them, and just kind of have a lot of fun with that very visual exercise that is fishing Lahontans and the Lahontan rodeo.
Yes. Speaking of visual, are you taking a ladder?
I don't have the patience for a ladder. I like to be able to.
You're tall enough. Maybe you can get by without it.
Oh yeah. If I, you know, sometimes I just back up the hill behind myself really quickly and take a look and run down. I know some people do like to do that, and if you're not super mobile, it might be a good idea too, because the, you know, depending on which beach, Cowpie is a very cobbly beach with like. About 4 to 6 inch rocks that are all kind of, you know, 45 degree angles. So it's a good ankle or knee turner if you're going crazy like me and chasing the pack down that you just missed. You know, it's just a lot of fun though. You can just run back away from the shore a little bit so they can't see you and then run down the beach, get ahead of them again, bam, hit them again.
Yeah.
Or just call them out to your buddy that's down beach and say, oh, dude, cast over there, 5 seconds.
Well, is it the 9th?
April 8th.
Okay, well, maybe we can have enough people that we can just not worry about it. We'll just call out to the next guy.
Yeah, just pass them on down the line, and hopefully you're going to join me.
I'm going to
do my best to drag you over there,
it's
mister.
The weekend, and I'm trying to get away more weekends.
You got to get out of here every once in a while.
Oh, dude, tell me about
it. As much as we love hearing your voice on the radio all the time, we don't want to wear you out.
What? My lungs are fine.
Yeah, so, you know, if anybody needs any tips or would just like some more info on that one, feel free to give me a shout. 509-429-7298. Methow Fishing Adventures has a Facebook page, so you can find us there. Or you can email me at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com or check out the podcast at the Fly Fishers Pro Shop. You know, it's never too late to get your trips booked as well for the spring,
because
they go fast. So let's think about those lowland lakes that are going to be awesome coming up here. And never too early either to book your river trip, because once they go, they're gone. Let's get out there and get that fish on. Mama gonna fish it, baby gonna fish it too.